Hey, bats, kiddos, Joker here, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a very star attraction episode of the BCP right now. Very excited for this one. Someone we even wanted to talk to and has made her force known in the Goddesses of War locker room. You know her as the star attraction ahead of her number one contenders match at Titan Championship Wrestling Presents Ignition. Tickets are still available. Get them now. Like I said, she is the star attraction accompanied by the master of the Adams family, my good friend, Mr. David Adams. She is Miss Debbie Kane. Debbie, welcome. How are you? Thanks for a few minutes.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm excited to finally talk to you guys. It's a big week. Titans coming up Saturday. We're talking off camera. I'm super stoked to be on the call with the mentor, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. David Adams. But Debbie, I want to talk to you. You have this number one contenders match against some pretty big names, Nevaeh Chantel, Valentina Vasquez, and of course, someone who's no stranger to gold around the waist, around both shoulders, formerly Mimi Three Belts, the notorious Mimi. This is a number one contenders match for the Goddesses of War Championship. How are you feeling going into this match?
I'm not nervous at all. Me and Mimi are no strangers to each other.
Okay.
Me and Nevaeh tagged with each other, so I kind of have a feeling of how she is. The surprise one will be Valentina because I never really worked her, so I'm going to have to study her.
Absolutely. And this is a great opportunity for a lot of, you know, Riley, obviously getting that tap on the shoulder to take on Vicky, which I think could be a show stealing match. But this one's going to be great, too. You did mention that you tagged with Nevaeh Chantel. Do you feel that gives you an advantage? It looked like you two kind of had some good chemistry. It was kind of on and off at times.
Sometimes you have to keep your competitor, someone you're going to eventually work against, close to you. So that way you could get a feel of how they work. So that way you could have the upper hand on it.
Yeah, absolutely. What would it mean to you to, you know, obviously win that match, not to be cliche here, but to get the opportunity to have gold around the waist in that Goddesses locker room? That's one of the most coveted titles in TCW history.
Honestly, I never held a belt before.
Really? Okay.
Get a belt, it'd be pretty exciting, but I like to not keep my hopes high. I like to just keep my emotions steady because sometimes you let your emotions get to you and then that'll be a downfall.
That's brilliant. Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, shameless promo, we had some BCP exclusives talking to Titan CCO Mr. Billy Fetsky, and he's teased some tag titles coming around here. So that could be very, very cool. I'm excited to see more gold. I have asked in, like, public forums, oh, what would you think about bringing some tag titles into the Goddesses locker room? You talk about that quest for gold, Miss Kane. I wonder, who would you pick as a potential tag team partner in that Goddesses locker room? Would it be Nevaeh Chantel?
Does it have to be someone from the locker room?
No, what do you got?
Prize partner that I might have in mind.
Maybe. Is it David Adams? Just say it's David Adams, isn't it?
Oh no, definitely not David Adams.
She's losing the match.
Definitely no David Adams on the apron the whole time, or he keep tagging me back in.
I'll be holding these lovely donuts at ringside, keeping them fresh for us afterwards.
You guys are teasing me.
Spend time at ringside with you and get in the ring and get beat up. Let's make magic on Saturday with 14 matches on commentary. That's where I want to sit.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. But David, I would pick you as my tag team partner every time. But go ahead, Miss Gain. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But if I pick someone from the locker room, from TCW, it'll be just to pick someone. To have a good rapport as a tag team partner, you have to pick someone you know that you have chemistry with, that will workflow with your work. I have someone in mind I would like, maybe pull someone out of retirement.
Somebody that she can trust. Yes. Trust is a big word in the wrestling business that gets very weakly, but trust is, it's all about it. And there's only a handful of people that in our circle that we actually trust.
Yeah, the lesson I'm learning every day, Mr. Adams, and I do trust you, sir. You've been so good to me and given me so many opportunities. But we speak about opportunities. We talk about, you know, having that opportunity for the gold. You know, I'm teasing tag team gold here. And then I just got to, you know, kind of complete the trifecta here. We're seeing a lot of, you know, online opinions today. Obviously, a big day in the wrestling world. They talk about almost like a mid-card or mid-weight title for the women. And would that be something you'd like to see in the goddesses realm as well?
As a women wrestler, yes. Because it's time for the girls to get equal opportunities as the men. What the men could do, women could do too, maybe a little bit better. You mean like the guys are known to be champions, have more opportunities, tag team, middleweight, heavyweight. Why can't us women have the same opportunity?
Yeah, no, and let's be real here. The women have been killing it the past couple of years. Right now, my two match of the years, Thunder Rosa taking on Britt Baker in that no holds barred match. That was insane, or unsanctioned match, whatever it was. And the women's Royal Rumble. Can that be a match of the year? Because I thought it was booked perfectly. I thought it was great. And let's not forget, you goddesses of war have been killing it. Now, we've seen the likes of Riley Shepard and Lady Frost taking it on in that no holds barred match. We see a lot of cages popping up in goddesses and titans. Did you ever think about being part of those stipulation matches? Some people really want to do it. Some people kind of want to stay away from that stuff. Is that something you've ever thought about or been a part of already?
No, I haven't been part of it. If I was given the opportunity, yes. The only thing I will say I will stay away from is the death matches.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
And not give it out.
Yeah, no, that's very smart and very fair. And we'll probably lengthen your career. So that's a good way to think of it. But you know, obviously you've been killing it like since day one in the goddess's locker room. I was like, she's got it. I'm a little bit scared when I hang out with you. I don't want to get beat up or get on your bad side or anything. But let's rewind a little bit. David's like, I know that story. But let's rewind a little bit and talk about how you got your start in the business. Like, not to be cliche, but were you a fan growing up? Like, obviously, I see Debbie Kane. Like, I'm a big Kane guy, Debbie Kane. Like, tell us a little bit about like your backstory getting, you know, involved in maybe the fandom, or were you a fan at all?
Honestly, when I was younger, I wasn't, because my father, there's three girls in the family. He kept us all different. One was a tomboy. One was the mixture between tomboy and a girly girl. He wanted me to be the girly girl, so he kept me out of all sports. And then I started watching it with my brother, who is a big fan of it. And then I started getting into it and watching it with him. That's where I started, because I was so occupied with going to school, because that's what my parents wanted me to do. But unfortunately, my father couldn't keep me from watching it since my brother was watching it. So when I first started, I didn't tell my father that I joined wrestling school because I knew how he was going to react. I told my brother and his mouth was just dropped. And I was like, just don't tell dad. He goes, okay. So when I finally told my father, my brother was with me, my father almost backhanded me so hard. My brother had to like kind of jump in the middle and tell him to calm down. It's not that bad, because he's old school where he thinks that the girls are just there for, you know, tits and ass.
Right. Well, clearly, I mean, the girls are stealing it in goddesses and on the national, you know, platform. It's amazing. You know, like I said, we're seeing some of these goddesses show up on AEW Dark. We're seeing a lot of our friends that have been on the podcast 1 year ago, 2 years ago, popping up in NXT, AEW Dark, getting opportunity, which to me is so amazing considering we're in a pandemic. I love seeing our friends get signed or even just getting that opportunity. Is that something you've ever considered, like waiting for that phone call from Cody or, you know, or Paul or whoever? Just is that something you dream about? Like, what are the goals, not to be cliche, moving forward?
Well, everyone's dream is to make it somewhere, but like I said, I don't like to keep my hopes up, because then you keep your hopes up, then eventually you'll hit a spot when if it doesn't happen. Of course, I would take any opportunity. If Cody would have called me tomorrow, would I take it? Of course. Am I crazy? Maybe a little bit, but I'm not going to turn it down.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to get as far as they can in this business, and not everyone gets the opportunity. So you can only sit here and pray every night that you get the opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, you work very hard, and we're talking about opportunity, obviously getting that number one contenders match. It is a fatal four-way, you know, so the odds are what, 25% statistically speaking. We'll see what happens. We'll see what you bring to the ring going into that. But, you know, talking to you a little bit, getting to know you a little bit better at Free For All, shameless promo, check it out on Facebook. You know, you talked to me a little bit about the training. You want to talk a little bit about where you train and all the hard work that you put into that?
Well, I trained at NYWC, which is New York Wrestling Connection. At the time, the trainers were Alex Reynolds and Tony Nese.
Yeah.
And they're very hard trainers and stuff like that. But, you know, thinking about it, it's structured. They taught you fundamentals. They taught you right. It just, the way they teach you is organized and professional. And then eventually Mike Mondo came in, and he's so easy to work with. I was so quiet when I walked into the school. I used to sit by myself and just wait until class started, did what they asked me to do. And then eventually they pushed me in to be a ref, but I was so quiet they could get me to really talk so much. And then Mike Mondo could just pull anything out of you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's amazing to hear. Cause like, to me, like I'm a teacher, and to me, there's like two kinds of teachers. There's ones that are like, I know more than you. And then there are ones who like trying to find a way to connect with their students. And I can tell, like, you know, not to knock anyone, but I can tell you connect in a different way. And let's be real. You do most of your talking in the ring. And that's some of my favorite wrestlers. That's great, man. So I'm super excited for this event, David. I'll throw it to you, man. Like you said, we got a lot of work to do. I'm very, very excited. You can see the big smile on my face again. Ignition, turn the key, start the ignition Saturday, April 17th in Toms River, New Jersey. Get those tickets now at titan-championpwrestling.com. But I digress, shameless promo aside, David, this is a great card, man. I know what matches I'm excited for. Yes, we're supposed to be impartial. We will be. We're always professional. But what matches are you particularly looking forward to, besides Debbie Kane's, of course?
Well, clearly the number one where if Debbie becomes the number one contender, that ride home is just that much
smart, sweeter. Man. Smart man.
If I may just take a time out for a second. She just mentioned something, and I know people have questioned her cardio and her stamina in the ring in the past.
Really?
Mike Mondo, would you care to tell people, how long would you wrestle with Mike Mondo during training sessions for open ring at one given time? You'll like this.
Oh, please.
If Mondo needed to wrestle with someone, he would call me up because I lived not far from the school. So we would train, and we were going, I'd go 2 hours for a training, and only stop we would do is if one of us had to use the bathroom. And he's like, you got to have good cardio because you're not even out of breath. I'm like, no, but we also do cardio and training.
Yeah, no, you've always killed it in the ring, you know, and that's something I noticed. Like I'd be David. I mean, I'd be done in 2 seconds in the ring, man. Like I feel like I have no business between those ropes, man. And I'll stay. Usually we're pretty safe behind the commentary table, but that's very interesting. But you mentioned training in New York, Debbie. Are you from, do I hear a little New York accent in there? Are you from New York?
I'm from Long Island.
Okay. Okay.
A lot of people think I'm from Queens, but I'm really from Long Island. It's just okay.
So they said, because this is the important hard-hitting question here that I always like to ask on the show. Big pizza connoisseur here. Jersey, New York, and some parts of Chicago have the best pizza. I'm here in Connecticut, you know, New Haven, someplace, little spots like that. But outside of that, like, you know, we have the best pizza. What's the pizza spot in Long Island?
That's kind of... area, it's Altalia's, because I live like in the Babylon area.
Okay.
You know, it's always busy, and that's just our go-to.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting.
We better be here with the free pizza if Altalia is listening to that right now. Shameless hashtag free food.
That's how we do it, my man. You know the deal. And something I was very excited to see doing my homework for the interview. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're going to be down in Alabama. Correct me if I'm wrong, for that Belladonna division. Is that correct?
Yes.
So my friend, Stephanie Hardy for the Hardy Wrestling Podcast is making her commentary debut at that event. So I'll definitely have her reach out to you, and, you know, you guys can connect and all that kind of stuff. But I was very excited for her because, you know, obviously shameless promo, David Adams gave me my first shot, went to bat for me. So I was super supportive. You know, I want to kind of continue that tradition of just being very welcoming and giving advice, which Mr. Adams has always done. So tell us, like, how excited you are to make that trip to Alabama. Is this the Alabama debut of Debbie Kane?
Yes. I've been on road trips. I've been to Kentucky. So Alabama is totally different. I like to explore new places. I like to work new places. So it's definitely going to be an interesting experience to be in a different dynamic or area, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I think there's probably some good barbecue down there. So that's going to be super, super, super fun. And what advice would you have? Obviously, and David, because I've gotten advice from you, so I'll let her field this one. So Stephanie will be calling your match, right? I'll obviously be calling your match along with David at Titan. But what advice would you have from that superstar or goddess perspective to tell me as a commentator? Because you guys tell the story in the ring. I feel like we have the opportunity to narrate that story. And to me, I take it very seriously. What advice would you have to either of us doing commentary? Don't mess up.
Well, I would say sometimes it happens. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? No one's perfect. Just try the plays by the right names as much as you can. Do your homework on the wrestlers, because sometimes a moveset that they always do, and then you could get the moveset on what the commentary says, because they might know it the best.
That's what I'm hearing. That's like the perfect example. And to me, I try to reach out to as many people as I can. And, you know, I got the notes on Debbie Kane. I got the Debbie Kane page in here. You know, I got, you know, doing all my homework. And that's the most important thing, you know, talking to everyone. They're like, hey, like, if you guys just like know our move names, like that's super, super important. And David, I know you can speak to that, man, because you're an encyclopedia. Do you have, all right, be real, man. This could be off the record. I could take it out. Do you have a notebook or is it all up here?
Oh, you have to have a notebook to a point, but I mean, it eventually goes up here. Like when I first started talking to you about this and the door was first open for you, I told you, put your bullet points down. But if you try and call a match and reading exact notes at the same time, you're going to be looking at your notes and you're going to miss something that's on the fly in the match. So just your natural intellect, everybody loves you in the business. You've become part of the TCW and Goddess family. So yeah, like, with anything, just, yeah, have the bullet points, you know, do a little, you know, study on your own, have them there. Just like with ring announcers with index cards. I certainly have my index cards, but I also try not to use the index card when I'm in the ring, but it's there. I palm it in my hand because I'd rather palm it than choke and be like, I forgot everything. At least if you forgot something, it's just a matter of, oh no, he looked at his card and the show goes on smoothly and my interruption doesn't mess up the timing for the performers that are trying to concentrate on ding, ding, ding and kicking each other, you know, senseless. So
Very well said. Do you ever listen to your stuff back?
When I initially started the business, I hated my own voice. But as an announcer, you have to. You have to be critical. Just like wrestlers are very critical of their performance in the ring. I'll notice that I said something wrong. I'm notorious for calling the wrong move sometimes.
Hey, oh, really?
Cole did it at WrestleMania. If Michael Cole can mess up a move and move the wrong thing and Corey Graves has to correct him, anybody gets a pass because he's supposed to be top. So the top guy makes a mistake. Guess what? Shit happens. You move on and it's pro wrestling. You really can't mess it up because it's pro wrestling.
It's so true. And you said it because, like, it's funny because, like, when you're behind the curtain or you're in production or whatever it is, like, you notice things from their perspective. And, like, now I'm a little bit more, like, woke in that sense. And, like, it's like what you said about, like, and not a knock on Cole, like, yeah, we always tease Cole or whatever, but, like, not a knock on Cole, but, like, him making a mistake on the grandest stage of all. I'm just like, oh, he's a human. Like, I just felt so much more comfortable, man. And I think, in terms of me, like, obviously, I need to work on my cadence. My grandfather was a minister and my dad. Said to me, and my dad has no interest in the wrestling or whatever, but he understands it. I love it. He's very supportive and all that, but he always talks to me about my grandfather being a minister and talks to me about my cadence, stuff like that. But I'm just excited to get out there and learn, man, and absorb. And I'm very appreciative of Titan and all the opportunities they've given me. How do you guys, you know, like, this is the mushy segment, but how appreciative are you guys of Titan for these opportunities? We'll start with you, Debbie, obviously getting that tap on the shoulder to possibly become the number one contender.
I'm very grateful. I'm grateful for any opportunity I'm given. I will take whatever you give me and go with it.
Yeah, I know you will. And speaking of which, and well, first, David, how grateful, I mean, I know you're the man, but go ahead.
Nah, there's nothing about being the man. I put the work in like anybody. I'm very grateful. And, you know, I've worked for some great companies. I've worked for some not so great companies, but I've worked with lots of great talent in this big business. I think it's necessary to have your highs and your lows. You can't just be high all the time. I know, RVD, HO plug right there. But, you know, you can't be on a high all the time. You need to get a kick in the ass. You need to get rejected sometimes because it makes you realize that, dude, everybody, male or female, everybody's replaceable at any given moment. The wrestling business is awesome, but the wrestling business is a bitter bitch that owes nobody anything. And the fans can be influenced to forget about you in a week or two. No matter who you are, a company, ownership, they can put a new storyline out. They can make you vanish. Yeah, and people have to realize that, and it's very important. I mean, I think it's good to have an ego to a point. I think an ego is what makes the superstars larger than life, but you also have to sometimes check that ego to a point at the door and realize, yeah, you know, keep your character at a high ego, but your real life persona backstage, maybe a little humility is not a bad thing, you know? And that's not pointed to one person at all. That's just in general, my general observations of the business is sometimes it's easy to get wrapped up in all the, you know, fairy tale bullshit. And it's important to keep that, you know, here and just know that what makes a great professional wrestler is the, you know, intestinal fortitude of that person, the real, the shoot person, have you. And I just think you need to keep it straight to the core and then just flow with it. You know, most owners, if you're a good performer, they're going to give you bullet points and then they're going to tell you to roll it from there. I mean, most owners, other than global platforms where maybe you do have to memorize a 4-page script because that's what they want. I mean, generally, they're going to give you bullet points that they want to see worked in the ring, and they're going to trust you just to use your natural personality to get said product over however you see fit. And if they trust you with that, that means you're doing a good job, and they know you don't need a babysitter. So, I mean, trust is a big thing. Once again, owners need to trust the talent to not go into business for themselves and to keep it within the structure that the ownership wants to present to the fans.
Wow. Very, very well said, man. And as I'm learning, you know, being very new to the business, like I came in as press and podcasting, and I just thought everyone was just like nice to me because I was press, but everyone is like, seriously. And you included, like, everyone's just been so welcoming and nice to me during a very hard, like, transitional time in my life. And I put everyone on that pedestal, but slowly I've learned that, you know, like you said, there's two people to every person. And, yeah. And that's not a knock, because there's a lot of like really beautiful people inside and out. Like the kind of people that check up on me, just on a day-to-day basis. And that's what I love about the business. But at the same time, like, you stay woke. And I think at the end of the day, we're all just trying to leave, like Serpentigo has said, shameless promo name drop on the podcast several times. We're trying to leave the business better than we left it, you know, or leave it better. So it's amazing. And I love that. But now to get back to the match at hand, because Debbie, I did want to ask you this one. We did have Riley on. We did have Vicky on. We had our little pre-match showdown. It was, you know, a special place in my heart for both those ladies. But again, David, you know, we got to be impartial, man. I am very excited for that match specifically. Debbie, hypothetically, I mean, let's be real. Maybe you are going to come out with this one easily. You're the number one contender. Hypothetically speaking, is it Riley you want to take on, or is it the vivacious, vicious one?
That's definitely interesting, but I would say I kind of want to work Vicky.
Really? Have you guys faced off yet?
We faced off like a minute maybe in a four-way before.
Okay.
For a minute. So I kind of want to finish what we started.
Time machine. She's being humble because Debbie was trained old school and humble. Debbie Kane is not telling you. She was involved in the first ever Goddesses of War, Goddess Championship match to crown the inaugural champion, where it was the vivacious, vicious Vicky. It was Debbie Kane. It was Gemma Giuliana.
Yes. And the
Mimi. Now, in that match, I was there. This was before your days of commentary. I was there with another commentator, and we called that match. And the first 2 minutes were her and Vicky for about 2 minutes stayed in the ring. Gemma and Mimi started outside the ring. But and even fans had hit me up and said they wanted to see more of Vicky and Debbie. These two went so hard at each other, just pure punches, no bullshit. And there was like this 2-minute run before the four-way scramble split them up a little bit, that they were just literally beating the shit out of each other. And I kind of liked it. And I got to agree with the fans. And, you know, I mean, this idea in the past has been brought to management. What if Debbie Kane had a one-on-one match with the vivacious, vicious Vicky? And that was before she was champion. I just think the fans noticed it right off the bat, that they saw 2 minutes of pure, intense, you know, hard-hitting action that, you know, the goddesses bring. And the fans wanted to see, hey, 5 more minutes, 10 minutes. I mean, that's why I was saying, you know, if anybody's ever brought Debbie's cardio into it, I'm sure that if her and Vicky had like a 10-minute time limit match or whatnot, I bet these two would go the full 10 minutes, totally exhausting each other's energy. And that would be good. And not to say you versus Riley would be good, because you and Riley have never even touched ever. Oh. I think that would be a really good matchup as well. Unpredictable, because Riley, she's so ring savvy and well-trained. You're so well-trained. And I'll tell it to anybody, it's not because she's my girlfriend in real life. One of the most underutilized talents in women's professional wrestling, maybe because backstage she's quiet, and it's not because she's rude, but the way that this girl was trained old school, it was kind of like, keep your mouth shut, keep your ears open, and listen to the veterans. And you know, that's an old school mindset. Tell people, how long have you been in the wrestling business for? I don't think a lot of people tell me, David, I didn't know your girlfriend was a wrestler. How long have you been in the business, dear?
9 years.
9 years.
Wow.
So if you do your research, this doesn't mean that she has the best odds of winning said match, but if you look at how many years people have been in the business in that fatal four-way, Debbie has the most in-ring experience. That doesn't necessarily mean she's, you know, a guarantee. I'm not saying my girlfriend's going to be the winner, but if you count experience-wise, a lot of people don't realize, and they're like, David, I didn't know your girlfriend was a wrestler, and she's been doing it 9 years. So believe the experience can you know help a little bit too. It's not all about experience. Sometimes a young upstart like Notorious Mimi can put a run on a company in the first 2 years of her existence, and she's done quite well for herself, to say the least.
Lot of competition in the goddesses locker room for sure. I'm very excited for both goddesses matches. Again, I know I'm supposed to be impartial, but here on the podcast, very excited for those matches. Miss Kane, very excited to see what you can do. And let's be real, Vicky's been on a tear. Let's be real. I'm not just saying that because she's my broadcast partner and friend, and you know, has been on the show several times. She's killing it. I think she's Vicky 3 belts right now. She's cut some killer promos that made me kind of scared, and she is just ready to ground and pound. And she had some very real words for Riley. That being said, Riley has said on the show, she's a geek. She prepares. She's ready to go. She had my match of the year for the women on the indies with Lady Frost in the no holds barred match. This could go either way. This could be very exciting. Again, guys, get your tickets now. Titan Championship Wrestling presents Ignition. I'm getting hyped just talking about it. But just to rewind real quick, I did want to ask you this. I don't want to forget. You know, we talked about your past and, you know, getting into the business and all that. You know, David says 9 years. Is there anyone that maybe that you loved as a kid or that you pull from now, maybe that's on TV or in the indies or anything like that? Like, you know, obviously I think, you know, I love Kane, you know, maybe that's like a nod or something like that. Or is there anything that you pull from or anyone that you like you've really admired?
Not really, because I watched it, so you kind of have to compromise. So I kind of watched all the men growing up. I'm more of the Attitude Era fan.
Okay.
I guess you could say, like, I like that era a little bit better than the other ones. So I really liked, like, the Stone Cold.
Sure.
Of Shawn Michaels, the Kane, and Triple H. So I have one particular person.
Love it. Who's the dream match? It could be past, present, future, indies, legend, male, female. Who's the dream match?
For the female, it's Gail Kim.
That's a great answer. Very good answer. Love that. That's awesome. I thought you were going to say David Adams. You could
hit him. Oh, no. That's we grappled a couple of times.
Bro, whatever. Who knows? You might have a surprise wrestling gear wise on Saturday.
Ooh, hashtag wrestling fashion. I'm excited for that. I did like the gear in the picture that we posted today. That was phenomenal gear. So very excited to see that. You guys are teasing me with those donuts right now, and it's driving me nuts. And just one last, not even fair. You know, I'm a donut lord over here.
Donuts, but, quack.
Did you buy the Purple Haze yet?
I did not buy a Purple Glaze. I did not. It did run through my mind. I'm a fan. It was fun to just bring all y'all donuts. And I think most of you got them. That's the hashtag donut gate. We don't want to rewind to that. But shout out to Purple Glaze. I think they are going to be under some new ownership down in Asbury Park. So everyone check out Purple Glaze. They have some phenomenal donuts. Love the shout out. And I do want to ask this one. This is our favorite question to ask. We just watched Wrestle. Did you guys watch WrestleMania? I take it you did, right? Yeah. You know, first and foremost, I thought we kind of had an advantage on the indies here because, you know, the national brand did not, you know, on Monday and Friday did not have an audience. You know, they did great things with the Thunderdome. I think it was sorely needed. And in terms of production, it's phenomenal. You can knock all sorts of things, but the production was great. The thing I was most excited to see was the return of the fans. And I was wondering if people would get emotional. And I was very most excited to see people walk down the aisle or pre-match or whatever it was. And even the national anthem or America the Beautiful, like the tears, Rhea Ripley, Edge, and all that stuff. I was wondering if you guys could speak to how important having the fans are there, because we kind of had an advantage, even though it started out drive-ins. I think that may have even been the show you were talking about. We drive-ins, outdoor shows, socially distanced. Again, this one's outdoor, guys. CDC guidelines are being followed, obviously. But how important is it to you, obviously, David being an announcer and Debbie being an in-ring talent, how meaningful are the fans? I think we know now more than ever.
It's actually very important. I like to yell at fans, honestly. interact with the fans. It's all about the fans.
Yeah, I agree, David.
I mean, I think this past year, with COVID in the world basically going on a huge landslide, has proven that, you know, wrestling can survive anything, and wrestling, it can survive without the fans, but it's way better. You know, first there was no fans and they just had the talent that they used for kind of like, you know, chime in noise. Then they put in the Thunderdome with the fans on the computer screens, which is awesome. But having that actual fan with their family and their friends, having that meaningful moment, taking pictures, you know, every picture they take, they're going to cherish for the rest of their lives. Those WrestleMania moments and stuff like that. Just knowing that the fans are there, they've invested a lot of money to come see you perform, and the noise. I mean, you can channel the noise through the Thunderdome, through the computer screens. And it's awesome. I mean, the way they do it, they totally made it work. But having the live fans there, I believe 25,000 fans, that's about what the Super Bowl was too. So clearly that's the number that they're allowing into the Tampa Bay football stadium there or whatnot. So it's perfect. It's, I mean, 25,000 fans. I mean, most indie people have never seen that. The most I've ever announced in front of was 4,000 fans. And that felt like 100,000. So 25,000 out. Yeah. And it's that energy. I mean, a lot of the talent can, you know, work their mic skills off the timing of the crowd, whether you're a fan or you like to get, some people like to get booed and hated. This one over here. But yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. If you're getting booed because you're doing your job and you're not like blatantly offending somebody, you know, having to use curse words or racial slurs, and you're getting somebody to boo you because you're doing your job naturally, that's awesome. You're not trying to get that cheap heat. Just be yourself. If your character is, or even cheering them, you know, I've had fans hit me up and say, "Hey, are you going to be at the show on Saturday? Hey, it's my birthday. Can you give me a birthday shout?" They're already trying to set up their own style. Fans want to get over. They put me over, brother, you know? So, I mean, whether it's the indie level or the national or the global level, yeah. I mean, the fans are everything. The talent, I mean, sure, there comes a point where the talent, obviously, a payday is very important. You live off of this at a professional level, but the talent, A, helps your payday, and B, the talent is, they're the ones that believe in you. They're the ones that invest in you, that go online and buy the merchandise, spend $30 on a t-shirt, you know, $20 for an 8x10 sign, whatever the pricing is. And it's just, and it's a special thing because most of us, you know, whether we were in our, you know, whether we were under the age of 10, we were teenagers, we were in our 20s, 30s, whatever you started getting in the business, we were all a fan at first. Because you hear that thing, oh, once you're in the business, don't be a mark. Well, that's not, you're always going to be a mark. If you're not a mark, then you're not really in the business. I think what they're talking about is that if there's a big name signing and you're working a show, don't just cut the line and be like, oh my God, I'm a big fan. You know, save that crap for, you know, if you want to get a picture, go for it. Behind the curtain, when they're done making their money, when the fans aren't around. We've all been guilty of it. I mean, and I don't regret any of it. You know, you want to get a picture? Get a picture. I mean, but yeah, I mean, you got to, the fans that stick around, even after the Titan and Goddess shows, there's fans that stick around, just lingering around, just hoping to, you know, rub elbows with a couple more talent that haven't gone home yet, that come back out to help put the ring away. I mean, there's fans. I mean, we have super fans like Anthony Fazio. He's always there an hour or two after the show. That dude, he brings money. He brings great spirits. He brings merchandise to get signed. He brings pictures of me that I like. He took this picture of me and then gets it blown up to like 11 by 14. He's like, can you sign it? And it looks awesome. And I'm like, think to myself, this dude's going to have this on his wall. It's just, it's a cool thing, though, especially as an announcer, because you don't pay to see the announcer. So it's usually the wrestling talent. So when anybody wants my autograph, I'm like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Because I'm a low guy on the totem pole. You can say whatever you want. Announcers, you know, we have our job, but we're not supposed to be the primary focal point of a wrestling event. And it's a truly compliment. It's a compliment when they do want that. So that means I'm doing my job. And I've had fans say that when they come there and, you know, you can choose your own seat, you know, whatever, if they get general admission, a lot of fans, when you're there too, I've had fans say they really liked you, me, Marlon, Ryan on commentary, and they purposely pick seats that are right in front of the commentary table because they like to look at the ring and they don't want to look at our ugly mugs, but they want to our beautiful vocals. They want to hear our voice as they're visually watching, and it's like a movie basically, and we're like adding the soundtrack to their movie. And I think that's awesome that they purposely want to sit near us. I mean, Debbie tries to get away with me at every moment because she's annoyed by my voice. This poor girl lives with me, and she's got to hear this voice 24/7. These people actually want to embrace my voice. So kind of love that. Hashtag love it.
I love it too. And very well said. You know, to me, oh man, there's so many things I could say. Like, you know, just first and foremost, it is about the fans. You know, I love to me, like to me at the end of the day, smiles on faces. That's what it's about. And it puts a smile on my face. Like you can see how hyped I am, but I'm all about like those daddy daughter dates. I'm all about father and son. I'm about the families coming out to me. That's what's most important. Again, putting smiles on faces. If we want to have a lot of fun, everyone can bring their iPad. We can create our own like thunder dime. I don't know, something like a little mini thing, and we can increase the crowd or something like that. But I digress. But yeah, really, really well said. And again, the fans are super, super important. So please, you know, guys, come support Titan. You know, if you guys feel comfortable, it's going to be outdoors. Again, bring your own chair. Tickets start at $15 at titan-championpwrestling.com. And let's be real, there's not a lot of events going on these days. And, you know, we've been killing it all year. So I'm very, very excited. Come on out. See some great wrestlers, great performers like Debbie. And Debbie, we'll leave it at this. Anything that you want to say to the three other women that you will be stepping in the ring with this Saturday?
Yes, the number one contender is going to be me. My time to shine.
I mean, it's true. It's the quiet ones you got to watch out for. I'm going to say that right now. She does her talking in the ring. I'm excited to call this match. I'll be impartial, David. I know you'll be impartial, too. We are ready, guys. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. I appreciate you guys coming on. And oh, man. Stay safe out there, guys. And Debbie and David, you guys are the best. You know, I have all the faith in the world in you. And just continued success moving forward, all right?
Time out. Before we leave, we have one thing for you. Be jealous.
Oh, that is ultimate heel right now. No, that hurts. I will cry on a podcast right now. It hurt. Oh, man.
People bacon.
Dude, I love that you had it out there the whole... I love that you had it out the podcast and you just waited till the last few minutes of the podcast to take a bite into it.
We bought them on the way home from work and set it up.
I work hard all day, bring the donuts home.
She brings home the bacon, brother.
Wow. I love it, though. I'm all about the puns. Hashtag the pun disputed. All right, guys, but seriously, oh man, I'm gonna cry. Thank you guys for coming on and continue to success moving forward. All right.
Yeah.
We'll see you Saturday, brother. Thank you.
All right, guys. And like we always say here on the BCP, I am drooling for donuts right now. Stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We out. Peace.
Peace. Thank you.